Lindsay, let's be fair to say you're the England netball president. That sounds good, and it's just one of many roles you've had in the sport. So tell me a bit, first of all, about what your work involves on a day-to-day basis.
I've been England netball president for the last 3.5-4 years. My role is to represent the interests of the membership and the participants in netball, and that's everybody, administrators, officials, players, the whole works, on a very informal basis. So I don't have any legal responsibilities apart from to support the board in protecting the heritage of the game and the legacy of the game and the values of the game. So that's what I do. I usually turn up to events as completely diverse from the National Schools Tournament in Welland in a couple of weeks' time. I am going to the Armed Services Combined Annual Tournament. I have given the Australian team their medals in front of a packed crowd at the Copper Box.
Are you nervous?
And the main thing is that always reminds me, they are so tall. They are so tall. So I am a little bit nervous that I'm going to get it over their heads without me standing on tiptoes, but they're very, very nice and polite. But it's very diverse. I love every moment of it. And I just like, sometimes I'm sitting on the side just chatting to parents who have, so Netball Europe, for example, you had a lot of parents who were there at an international event for the first time with their 16-year-old, even younger, some of them, over the last weekend, just getting excited about the possibility of them being roses in the future. So I am interested and enthusiastic about all things netball.
And being based in London and the South East as well, aren't you? So that would have included the world record attempt, wouldn't it?
It did. Gosh. That was an interesting weekend. Can I remember all the details of it? It was based in Whitechapel, a sports centre in Whitechapel, and we had to have continuous netball playing for to beat the netball world record. And we wanted to do over 90 hours of that because it was part of the celebrations for England netball's 90th birthday. So I was there for not as long as many, but I did about 3 stints there. At about 1 o'clock in the morning, I think I remember umpiring just to keep the game moving because so many of the people who were taking part had been going for such a long period of time. I remember putting out on a Saturday night some emergency tweets and items on Facebook, and then in the next morning people were queuing up to come in to be part of the final, I think it was about the final 24 hours, and they all came along because we had some gaps, we didn't have enough teams, but teams came from all over the country, came down to play at all unusual hours because it was a 24-hour continuous thing. And we also got the Guinness Book of Records medal and certificate for doing that. So a big effort by lots of people involved, and just one of the things that we did for the 90th anniversary of England netball.
Am I right in thinking you'll be involved with the Golden Globes and Volunteer of the Year awards as well?
Yes, that one of the responsibilities, a delightful one I have to say, of the president is to chair the Golden Globes Awards Committee. So it's an annual event where all parts of the country nominate, have their own competitions actually, or their own nominations and nomination panels. They then put forward their winners. Many of the regions have Golden Globe events where they will do a proper presentation. Then their winners then come forward to the National Golden Globe Awards evening, which takes place usually in mid-September. This year, though, it is taking place in the middle of the Netball World Championships in Liverpool, many of whom do not know that they're going to win. And it is just delightful. And we like to say well done to volunteers that have done so much. So, and so do the Roses as well. So Tracy is almost always at these events, as many of the national team will be there. And for volunteers to receive their awards for what are often tremendous number of years service in lots of different ways to netball, to receive it from one of the Roses is absolutely fantastic. So it's a very rewarding and very important part of England netball's year, the Golden Globe Awards.
And maybe not just the Com Games Gold, but your time being involved with the sport as well, you must have seen that increase in uptake and participation as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think when I first joined the board, which was in the early 2000s, we were trying to get membership above 50, maybe 60,000. Post the Commonwealth Games, our membership and participation, or increased participation, is over 130,000, so more than doubling in what must be, I suppose, 10, 15 years. A lot of that, though, has come in the last 4 or 5 years from the increased exposure of netball on television. So the Super League, it started off gently and quietly and now is one of the major sporting events, I think, in the country. And we are having foreign players coming over here as much as our players are going over to Australia and New Zealand. So the Super League is the primary showcase for our game outside of the international tournaments. So yes, and that helps youngsters see netball very close too. When I started out looking at netball, it was maybe one or two opportunities every 2 or 3 years to actually see the game live at the national standard. And so nowadays youngsters can see it almost every week and then go to the big events. We have quite a lot of internationals every year. You can get very close to the side of the court. You can go and get autographs. It's a tremendously different environment to get inspired. And that's the point, I think. All of this promotion from all parts of the country and indeed the world of netball means that young girls can see what they can aspire to, what they can achieve themselves when they're of an age to be in the national team. So that's, I think, the main contributor to the increased numbers. And that goal, so many people saw Helen Housby's goal and they turned around and thought, gosh, this is a good, exciting game. Why have we just thought it was all about school netball?
The walk-in netball would have obviously contributed to that. They did a big, massive showcase at the arena ahead of the Stars game, and Becky wrote us some information on that on the blog part of the website. So, shameless plug, if you haven't been there, go and have a read of that because it's really interesting.
I will, and the partnership that we have with the WI and Walking Netball, again, another event over the last month that I've attended to support the launch by the WI of their highly successful program for getting active and for getting women active, possibly more of them later in life. And Walking Netball was the perfect partnership for them. And we had a wonderful afternoon where the most memorable thing, if you haven't seen a walking netball game, is the great fun everybody has. And I know that one of the values of netball is about having fun. And if you can't have fun, you don't want to take part. Whatever age you are, you need to have fun. And these walking netballers, they certainly have fun. Whether they can play as well as they would like to, whether their legs do what their brains want them to do, it doesn't matter. That they have really good fun, teamwork. And that's what the game's all about. And so, yes, you're right, walking netball has contributed to the number of participants as well. And why not?
I've just remembered why I rang you. Let's have a look at the Netball Heritage Archive, which has just opened. It traces the game back to 1897.
Yep, that's right. That was, 1897, netball originally emerged from basketball, so men's basketball, which was invented a few years earlier in the United States and Canada. And there was a lady called Martina Osterberg who saw this game being played by men and said she wanted to have a female version of that, brought it back to the what is now known or used to be known as the Dartford College of Physical Education in 1897 and converted basketball for women. And so that was where the game started. They used a basket and found that that wasn't very helpful, a basket, when you used to throw the ball into it because it didn't come out the other end. And somebody at the college devised a net and instead of the basket, and the net worked for the women to be able to recover the ball, and from that net ball emerged, and here we are over 100 years later. Tremendous start from that. And this lady, and in fact there was a program on Michael Portillo on his great train journeys passed by Dartford, talked about this lady and what she did for keeping women fit and encouraging teachers to understand how physical training works so that they could then go into their schools, and netball became part of their curriculum, if you like, for physical education at that time. And that emerged into the 1900s and 1920s in particular. Then it was 1926, so going back to the 90th anniversary that we were talking about, yeah. Andy, it was 1926 that the All England Netball Association was formed, so that's what we were celebrating, the 90th anniversary of that, but netball had been going a lot longer. I suppose it was very popular in Commonwealth countries, or British Empire countries, I suppose, as they would have been called then, and caught the imagination, especially of young women, and it went from strength to strength. But that's the original basis of why, when you get to the World Championships, the first ones that took place in 1963, so we've had this one in July will be the third one we've had in England, and the first one was in 1963, where the chairman and president then of England Netball promoted this World Championship that they felt needed to take place. It was quite exciting at the time. It took place in Eastbourne, Andy, for all places. So close
sporting
to the
capital.
Sea. And
sporting
the
capital.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it then has taken place every 4 years since. And as we all know, we're looking forward to it being in Liverpool in the summer.
Well, the thing is, with the Netball World Cup taking place here, the fact that it's going to be on display permanently at Huddersfield, it's just important that it's there and it's accessible to those that want to go and visit it.
Oh, absolutely. What happened with our 90th celebrations, one of the other things we wanted to do was to formally, the archives that they had in Hitchin, which was our office at the time, had loads, as you can imagine, loads of boxes with old programmes, photographs. There were lots and lots of boxes, and nobody had ever managed to take enough time out to catalogue them and know what they were. So there was a small group of volunteers, and we got some Heritage Lottery funding monies for a project officer, which lasted for a couple of years, and they then began to go through all of those boxes to try and identify what was in there. England Netball had collected a lot of stuff, there are lots of duplications, you know what it's like. And whilst there was a group of volunteers led by Sheila Redpath and Brian Worrell, and also Joan Mills, who is from Kent County, who looks after the netball archive at Dartford College, based on what we were just talking about. So the three of them got this group together, brought in honorary life members, people that had been around and could remember 1963 and even earlier, tried to identify who was in the photographs, started logging them, etc. But we needed some professional help, and when it was deemed that we were going to close Hitchin down and move England Netball up to Loughborough, we went to the National Archives and just asked where would be a good place to put our England Netball Archives, and where would we get the support that we needed. The University of Huddersfield, or their archives collection area, which is called Heritage Key, they were recommended to us. We approached them and they agreed. They too are heritage funded in part, but their vision is to have key collections, and one of the areas that they wanted to focus on was sport. So at the moment, prior to England Netball adding to their collection, Rugby League's National Archives are placed there. So they had plenty of experience of what sporting archives were going to look like, what the memorabilia, if you like, was going to look like. So we went up there, visited, liked them, they liked us, and we went into partnership with them. It's about 2 years, I suppose, that partnership has been working to get everything catalogued and ready for anybody to come and have a look at it. So as you say, now it's open to the public, and you can go along and request a programme from the test series in 1949, where there were some individual international events, or 1990, you know, it's got the whole breadth of memorabilia from the originating time and some very interesting items. You can spend hours there. Really good.
Yeah. I think I saw Sheila's tweet as well. I mean, there is such a range of things available. What kind of things, as well as the programmes? Have you got dresses and balls, that kind of thing?
Yep. Oh, yes. No, we've got some of the old balls that were
made
have been
out of stone.
Used for... Yes, exactly. The programmes are very interesting. The magazines, so every single magazine that the All England Netball Association produced going way back to 1926. So that's very interesting to see how the organisation was run at that time and how it developed. We've then got interesting things like how the national teams and where they were made up. So nowadays, the national players will come from all parts of the country. It probably would be fair to say that sometimes in those early years, many of them came from the Midlands and the South East, because those players, if they were going away for an international abroad, they would have to pay their way. So it was international netball in those early days was only open to those that could afford it. Nowadays, of course, a completely different kettle of fish, with a national governing body, support by organisations like Sport England and UK Sport, and the membership, I suppose, as well, that contributes not just financially, but through the fan base, merchandising, etc., etc. So the development of all of that. Well, there's a history of all of the different logos from the early days to the ones that we have now, which, again, quite interestingly, the main trend, I think, especially in more recent years, has been the rose. So now they are the England roses, and you can say the roses and everybody knows. We have young roses now, and then we have pre-young roses. So I'm so delighted. So that rose symbol has certainly come forward, and I suppose it's England, so everybody's very positive about retaining it. But there are some of the older dresses, some of the rules. Very interesting, there was something Gary Burgess was sharing on Facebook recently.
Yeah, was that true?
About some of the... I'd like to think that some of the rules on that were true. I think not. Let's just say it was a very interesting set of rules. Some of the original, the ones that going back to the 1920s, are really interesting to see. And you can, as you look at the rule books going through the years, you can see how the game has developed. It was very certainly non-contact in those early days, and has now developed and has the sophistication of the current game. But so there's trophies, some very interesting trophies. We of course had the two, I don't think England Netball goes anywhere now without the spotty trophies. So we had the two spotty trophies there as part of the launch. But it's very interesting as to what people collect, and we've had some lovely donations from netballers over the years that they have kept, got in their loft. Perhaps it was their mother's loft, and when their mum has passed away, they've then gone through and seen all of these netball programs, tickets of important games, things like that, and have been very kind enough to donate them across to us. And that's the kind of thing that Heritage Key is so good at. So they know how to showcase those things. They know how to look after them. And that was why it was so important that we brought everything together in a professional environment. So that's why it's up at Huddersfield. And we're thinking of ways of how we can signpost some of our international visitors that are going to be coming through the summer via Huddersfield, so that they will have an opportunity. There are quite a lot of international photographs as well, and it will be nice for some of those visitors, many of whom perhaps also remember those earlier World Championships and are coming with their clubs or friends or granddaughters to see the Netball World Cup in Liverpool. And we hope to be able to, in fact, identify some of the blanks that we have, because on these international photographs, it's very difficult for us to remember and identify them. So that's one of the hopes that we have for the summer.
I'm kind of relieved that you don't need yet another Tamsin Greenway autograph for it, because I've got a fair
There is one ball that I saw sitting on the exhibition table that's got her name on it. She tends to get everywhere, doesn't she? So, but what is very interesting is you see Colette Thompson, who's part of the Roses coaching team, to see her playing, to see Tracy playing when she was 20 years ago, is it? And to see them being part of and growing up in the netball environment is also quite interesting, and to see what they've achieved.
There's not meant to be videotapes of that, because speaking to people like Jess and Rich and Pam, those early years at Team Bath, they didn't even have video to record it on. It's just in folklore itself.
Exactly. And because it's folklore, it's really important that we do some of these oral histories. So I'm going to meet with Pat Harris, who was a member of the 1963 First World Tournament England team, and just to talk to her, to get a feel as to what she thought, what she felt. I think there's many similarities between what the final team that's selected will feel like when they go to Liverpool this summer. But the environment, there will be lots of people watching. There will be millions watching the netball on television in 2019. They went to Eastbourne, often had to get lifts to get there. They stayed with local families, including the international teams. It wasn't no hotels. So they usually stayed with local netballers or volunteer netballers when they were away from home. But what that created was a wonderful family environment, and I know many people who have maintained friendships across the seas over that period of time. And that's something that you can't quite put into the archives physically, but if you can do these oral histories, then I think you can at least get a bit of a sense for it. But the excitement, I am absolutely certain, is exactly the same in 1963 as it will be in 2019.
The audio side as well, we've been online since 2017. Would you like our masters?
I am sure. I'm sure we would. Exactly. And we do have some video clips that we were using on Saturday, actually. And the Netball World Cup team, I know they're going through the video clips, but the older ones. I really think we have to think seriously about ensuring that we don't lose out on what's happening nowadays. So yes is my answer. I think we will.
Let's talk.
And we'll have to think about it. Exactly.
But I mean, it's just another new way that people are accessing the sport as well, obviously on TV and online and via podcasts and things like that. And it's just building the archive for that future generation, isn't it?
It is, and important. Always good lessons to be learned. And as I found in my role as president, and I go back and look at the history as to what previous presidents did, and perhaps I talk to young people. So the London Youth Games is the event that I still like to be involved in and like to be there on the day that they all play and to see the youngsters play. And I always think that you are standing on the shoulders of people that went before you. They all had challenges in those early days that they're very different from ours, but they all had them. And if you can appreciate what they did, if you know what they did, then I do think there's an opportunity of learning from them and developing the game further. And so that's what I see the archives as doing, is providing that information, whether you're an official, whether you're an administrative volunteer, whether you're an athlete, you know, you can learn from the history, build on it, and remember that what you're doing today, so what the Roses team will be doing in the summer, there is a 11, 12, 13-year-old boy or girl, I'd like to say, that will be inspired by what they see.
We can find this online at heritagekey.org/archive/EN, and links to it via England Netball Twitter as well.
Yes, and England Netball has their own called Our Netball History. So if you just Google ournetballhistory.org.uk, you will be able to go directly into this website. And the Heritage Key website has a full catalogue of everything that they've got. So you can see that. Our Netball History website showcases the various items that are on there, and there is a lot of detail, replica photographs, memorabilia that's actually on our Netball website. But if you go to Heritage Key itself, you can see some of those things physically, and that's what I think I would encourage everybody to just take a bit of time out. Go to Liverpool via Huddersfield.
Well, Lindsay, it's been really good to speak to you. I'm off there now to search on your name to see what I can find.
Not much as yet. Andy, lovely talking to you as well.